I'm Brian.
And I'm Malcolm.
And we're a couple of dads sharing our journey about starting out and bootstrapping our indie businesses while still prioritizing our young families. We believe that you can hustle and work hard to bootstrap a successful SaaS, freelance, or indie business while still being family first. Join us as we share our learnings while building our businesses from scratch. What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Brian. Yeah, doing all right. Happy belated Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm still eating the leftovers from Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
3-4 days now. Yeah, that's usually how it goes. You make some, you know, way too much food and then you end up eating it for the next week. So I don't mind. Yeah. That's the best part about Thanksgiving.
So what did you get up to? Did you spend time with extended family, or was it just you and the kids and the wife?
Well, so it was with my wife's family, and they wanted to try something different. So, you know, traditionally you do turkey. Usually you bake a turkey and then, or cook a turkey, and then you have a bunch of sides and stuff like that. And we've done that every year, pretty much. They wanted to try something different, so they cooked steaks instead, which is...
Oh, that sounds much better.
Which is like, I mean, I won't complain about getting a steak, but I did miss the turkey. So we did Thanksgiving, we had the steaks, and then we made our own. My wife was awesome enough to make our own turkey because I was missing out on having turkey this year. That's kind of the only time you have it. So we made our own. And now that's where all the leftovers are actually coming from, was not my in-law's house, but our house.
Yeah.
When was this? I think it was Saturday that we did this. So not even on Thanksgiving, but I kind of had two Thanksgivings, I guess. So that's good. It was fun. How about you? How was your last couple of weeks?
It was good. I mean, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving here, but I work for an American company and they pretty much said, everybody please take off during the long weekend. So I was working a little bit on remote time. So I guess I cheated a little bit because the last 2 weeks were mainly focused around marketing, but I had this extra time during the day. So like, well, I need a bit of extra motivation. Because I'm not as passionate about this marketing stuff as I am about building handy new features. So I spent the maybe 6 hours on Thursday and 2 or 3 hours on Friday just as thinking and designing the next feature that I'm building. And I did a bug fix release as well to the stores. So that's live now. Well, yeah, it's live. So that was good because I just purely by accident found an onboarding bug that one of, you know, I spoke a while ago about taking a friend who's a freelancer through the onboarding, and he ran into like just about every bug that I didn't know of. And I was like, I don't know how to reproduce that, but I managed to find it. So that was really cool. Yeah. And family wise, we are at the end of exams. Hooray. So the stress levels are now back to normal in the Jack household, which is really good. we really chilled over the weekend, had some good food, watched Dune for me the second time. So I've saw it at the cinema. It was really, really good. And then Google Play, I think, released it for purchase. And it's like, I enjoyed it so much, I don't mind buying it. So I bought it and then watched it with the family Saturday evening. And I knew the kids would enjoy it. Well, my oldest especially, because he's quite, you know, arty and into cinematography and that kind of thing. So he really enjoyed that. Have you seen it?
Dune, yeah. I didn't realize it was out for purchase. I thought it was still in the theaters only, so I might have to do the same thing. Are you a big, like, fiction book reader at all?
I used to be in my earlier days, but now pretty much all my spare time is either making sure I'm physically fit and then building on remote time. So I don't get a lot of time for reading fiction these days. It's mostly, if I am reading, it's podcasts and business books and things like that.
That's how I wind down, or try to wind down, after working on other stuff. Otherwise, my brain just keeps going and I can't go to sleep. But it's been a long time since I've read Dune. But then the other thing that we're watching is the Wheel of Time series. It's I think it's Amazon.
Did that get released already?
Yeah, yes. It just came out. It's 4 episodes are out. They released 3 at once, and they just had the fourth one this past Friday. I love the book. It's my favorite series. It's a really long series. I haven't even finished it, but I've read like 7 or 8 of them out of 14. So there's a lot. But I like the ones I read, and I started watching the show, and I have to say you know how it's never exactly as you pictured it in your mind? Like there's always the TV or the movie adaption, the character, the casting, but to me, the casting was way off. Not at all close to what, in my mind, according to me, I pictured. You know, it's still fun to watch. Pretty fun show. My 13-year-old daughter is actually super into it. It's a little violent. Sometimes I cringe, you know, because she's a little bit young to be seeing like hands cut off and stuff like that. But but she's like super into it. So that's fun. That's kind of our little thing that we do every Friday now.
Nice. I'm looking forward to that getting released because we don't have all the Primes and the what's the other one that we don't have? Disney Plus. So there's a whole bunch of shows. I mean, Book of Boba Fett is coming out soon. I'm like, dang it, Disney, get your act together. Release the stuff in South Africa, please. But hopefully apparently middle next year, we'll be getting a bunch of that stuff. So I've got a lot of streaming series to catch up on.
Yeah, we might have to take a little podcasting break so you can binge, sounds like. Had someone reach out to me who's doing kind of questionnaires about people that he knows on Twitter. He reached out to me about doing that. And what he does is he has the person that he interviewed before ask a question to the next person. And so in this case, it's me. I'll have to look up who it was. I just glanced at it really quick, but I did see the question he had for me was, when are we going to have guests on the podcast? So that's one thing we need to do too. And I just want to throw out there that we're not at all, well, I don't want to speak for you, but we're not purposely not having guests. I guess we haven't actively recruited any, but if people are interested, we want to hear from you.
Yeah. So I'm Brian. I don't know when last you looked at our shared Notion document, but I've actually got a name list of about 3 or 4 people, which I think will be really good guests on the show. So it's definitely in both of our minds and in the works. My thinking is probably at the beginning of the new year, once we've got like more or less 10 episodes under the belt, and we're basically running out of things to say, to be honest. So it's always really good to get out of the echo chamber and listen from people. I think particularly from indie parents that have, you know, a little bit further down the road, they're making some pocket change with their SaaSes. And so it'd be good to hear about how they did that and, you know, the methods and challenges that they faced, particularly from a parent point of view, you know, because I think there's always the story of the startups and the founders that were able to do it full time or you know, didn't have kids, so they were be able to live really cheaply. So, but there's very few stories of, you know, parents who are working full time and built their businesses. And so, I'll be keen to get some of those stories a bit of airtime.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm looking at the list now. I won't spoil anything, but let me just say that if you think you might be on the list, still reach out because we want to hear from you. We can fill up our guest list, and I think it'll be fun to have a, you know, additional perspective, different perspective. Everyone's got a different experience, so I'm excited for that.
So did that previous person know that you would be the next person that was interviewed and hence knew to ask about the podcast? Is that how it worked?
Yes. And I will add to the show notes because I can't think of it right now. I don't have that information. I'll add to the show notes the newsletter. But he did know who is going to be next. And I know who's going to be next. I'm just not looking at the email. I can't remember who it was. So I'll look him up and I'll come up with a question for him. And I thought that was a pretty smart thing to do, pretty creative way of kind of linking them together.
Well, that's quite clever because they'd have to have known that we hadn't had a guest on the podcast yet, right? So,
yeah, I guess some people are listening. So I'm sure that everyone is dying to know how your marketing sprint went. So maybe I should get my boring update out of the way first.
Oh, go
so
for
we
it.
Can focus
go
on yours.
you're building something up, Brian. I'm afraid you're going to let people down. But anyway, let's follow the formula. Okay. So how did it go the last 2 weeks? And Was there anything interesting that happened?
Well, and by the way, we have not spoken ahead of time, just for everybody listening. I have no idea how the past 2 weeks have gone for Malcolm. So we'll see, but, I'm excited. Excuse me. I'm excited to hear about it. So for me, last time, I had just built and launched the landing page that our ads would go to that would collect leads. Yes. Leads are the bread and butter of our business. So it's kind of a pivotal, really scary thing to change. I launched that and I was going to watch over the next couple of weeks, this past 2 weeks, to see if it did what I'd hoped it would. Because initially it was like crickets, nothing was coming in, and it was really scary. Cause did I just screw over the company, launch this new thing, come in, pretend like I'm know what I'm doing. And it turns out I have no idea. Well, the good news is that after 2 weeks, something flipped on the Google side. Google has all sorts of fancy algorithms, I'm sure, that try to figure out what you want so that they can give you more of that. And I just kept feeding it data, telling it what I didn't want, what I did want, where I wanted it to come from, and all that. Basically, massaging and or grooming the data, the parameters that I give Google.
And
it worked. So now, and on top of that, if you get clicks on your ads, and and the site is awful, nobody's going to fill it out. So there's two components. You got to get the right ads in front of the right people. And then once you get them to your page, you've got to get them to actually be interested and fill it out. And it just took off. That new site has more leads than the old one did. And it's pretty rare. So it usually takes, from our experience, a few weeks, 3-4 weeks before things start taking off, even on an established site. Because Google's got to do its thing, and it took less than two. So,
that's amazing,
fingers crossed.
Well done.
It's pretty exciting. Hopefully I'm not jinxing us by just saying it this way, but, pretty exciting. So now we're to the point now where we can, that was kind of table stakes. That was to keep the business running. Now we get to talk about growing the business, which is the fun part.
That's exciting.
That's what I'm working on now. What we're discussing is what will move the needle the most, what we want to work on next, because there's just me, as far as the tech goes, building stuff. Now, we've got a marketing person, we've got a product, our CEO who understands the market and everything. And then we've got all the other, job functions, but I'm the only dev, so limited resources. And we're going to figure out what we want to do next. There's a bunch of different things we could do, but not everything moves the needle. But man, it's such a nice position to be in, to be like, there's too much work that's obvious that we could do. Now we have to cut and prioritize, as opposed to where I was before, which is where so many people start, including myself, which is like, I think I know what will work. And you have to launch it, and it's really slow because you don't have many customers at first, and painful, and kind of past that stage. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So what's really nice about your setup is you've got some, work colleagues to chat with and have this discussion and debate around what's going to be the most effective channel. So have you had any of those discussions yet in terms of, you don't have to, I suppose, pick it just yet, but what are the criteria just off the top of your head that you kind of think of when you look at doing that?
Yeah, sure. So let me get my notes out here so that I can actually speak intelligently about this, but because there's a lot of things we could do. One, for example, is there's no sort of client portal that our clients can log into and see where they stand. They're kind of a dashboard for how they're doing for the month, how many leads they've gotten, how much they've spent, how much they could spend if they want to dial up their ad spend or dial it down or whatever. So we could build a dashboard that shows them how they're doing. That helps with retention. That helps with, loyalty, and potentially also helps them understand how this, it all has to do with retention, but it helps them understand how it works. And that way they won't be so quick to just bail the first time something doesn't go well, because there are weeks and months where you don't get as many leads as you did before. And does that mean something's going south or what? So client portal is one. We also have these weekly calls with every client, which is amazing. We sit down on a 30-minute Zoom meeting with every client. We ask them about the quality of the leads they've gotten, which ones were good, which ones were bad, where they're at in the sales process. And we record everything. But right now, it's all being recorded in spreadsheets. So we could move that to our own proprietary, I guess, CRM kind of mini CRM type of thing. That doesn't have to be homegrown, but maybe integrate with something else. So that's one thing. But that doesn't really move the needle for them. It makes our life easier and it helps with scaling the business, but we're not to that point yet. So
yeah,
that probably won't be done. We can, another thing we've talked about is either building an app or a mobile friendly web page, that website that lets them give us feedback that I was just referring to in those weekly calls more in real time. And so they can, after they get a lead in, try to call up the person. They can tell us if they got through, what happened, if they made a deal, and then we can instantly make adjustments to their campaigns based on that feedback. So it makes it a little bit more real time. And if we, the thinking there is, if we create an app and we can get them to install that app, we can also use it as a sort of pager, because every second counts when you get a lead in. Imagine you're somebody trying to sell your house. You're going to fill out some lead form, and then you're probably going to go back to Google and look at some of the other, you know, basically our competitors, maybe fill out some others. So the faster our people get to them after getting a lead, the better. So what if there were an app that they installed that showed them their leads and where those leads are in whatever phase they're in? And, you know, I could also implement basically the, where you bypass do not disturb settings on like iPhone, the critical alerts.
Okay. That sounds really good though, right? Because the way that I like to think, and I've got a Medium post about this somewhere, is that as software developers, all we're doing is we're operating inside of an existing information system. And our job is to make the information flow in that system between the actors just really, really efficient. So it sounds like that's what you're targeting, is like the information flow and the accuracy of that information being really fast and really accurate, which obviously the end result is happy customers, which then you can feed back into your website and have testimonials and things like that that feed in the new customers again when they, you know, if they're like super happy about those experiences.
Yeah, exactly. We want to make it as clear as possible, because each one of these leads could amount to tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. So when every second counts, we want to have it, you know, at their fingertips in an app, possibly. And maybe we're the ones that they rely on. You know, if we basically turn this app into a pager for leads, you know, there's all sorts of possibilities in the future. We eventually want to move into, you know, a SaaS model. Right now, it's kind of an agency model.
Yeah.
So maybe this SaaS, or excuse me, this app is the beginning of something bigger. Maybe not.
Well, that's my favorite kind of growth strategy, is grow by engineering, right? What was that term that you used the other day, Brian? Engineering is marketing, or marketing is engineering, something like that?
Yeah, that's from the, I believe that's from the growth marketing book from Gabriel Weinberg. I can't remember the name of it right now, but if you look him up, it's a great book, Traction. That's the name of it.
Yes.
Where he talks about doing that. But this also kind of feels like a little bit down the road. It's probably not going to move the needle as much as some of the other ideas. It's fun to think about, probably won't do that. The main thing we need to do right now is get these clients more leads, so volume. And there's some things that is fairly low-hanging fruit that we can do. Setting up this new landing page was like phase one. So now we can do the other stuff we wanted to do. Then once they're like, you know, these are so many leads, we're so happy, these are more than I can handle, I'm having to farm some of them out, that's where we want to get to, because then they start referring more people, and then it becomes a flywheel where just, you know, those people refer more people, and then we start growing. Because the tech is fun to build and it's great, but they're not really paying for the tech, they're paying for quality leads. So I have to keep that in mind too. You know, as much as I want to build fun tech, what they really want, they're fine with spreadsheets. In other words, spreadsheets and Word documents, you know, if that means giving them more leads. So the tech stuff will come, we'll get there. But first, we've got to kind of build the foundation and get to ramen profitable, because I'm still not getting paid. Neither is the CEO. We're covering costs, but that's it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's also, I suppose, a really good measure of accountability, right? You are basically forced to be really, really critical of the thing that you're spending on during the day. It's got to be moving the needle forward. That makes you, kind of forces you to be customer focused, which is good. I mean, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. You're speaking to customers and getting feedback, and you know that's informing your strategy meetings that you're having going forward, which is an envious place to be in.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it, just the nature of where they were when I joined, the boat from the tech side, because I didn't have a tech person, was kind of sinking. It was full of holes. So we patched up those holes, and now the boat floats, but it doesn't really go.
Yeah,
there's no propeller
on that thing.
Yeah, so the current clients we have are okay now. Now we need to get this thing to grow. So that's kind of where we're at, and it is pretty fun.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so that feeds pretty nicely into more or less what I was doing the last 2 weeks, in terms of just looking at if you wanted to grow a product and build an audience and that kind of thing, what are all the different things that you could be doing? So I guess, you know, that's where our listeners may be a little bit disappointed. I don't have the magic answer and like, yeah, you have an app or a SaaS and these three things, if you do them, you're gonna start to get clients and you're gonna start to make MRR every month. But yeah, so I just the way I normally do these things is, and it was more fun than I would have admitted 2 weeks ago, because it's a lots of learning. But I basically just opened up a Notion document, a new one, and said, okay, cool. What are all the different channels that I could, that one could be doing? And then like the front page was basically, what are the criteria that I want to look at? What's important? Like, what are the principles I need to be looking at when I look at a channel? And I did tweet out one of the graphs that I was using in terms of XY coordinates. This was how much effort is it? Because that's very relevant to me being a part-time indie hacker. It may be less relevant for people that are full-time. And then the other coordinate was how effective would that item be? So if it takes less time and would be really effective, then the items in that quadrant would be obviously a lot easier to do and a lot more, I guess, attractive to do than something that would take forever to do and is not going to have a lot of impact. So just that classification, just helping me in my head doing the different things. And I think, when you don't have anything, then it's the answers are fairly obvious, I guess.
So do you feel like the quadrant that you built out and the different things that you could do were very specific to your app, or do you think that there's something that could be used for other people in your position?
No, I think it's fairly generic. I think there is, like I mentioned, because I'm part-time indie hacker, some aspects of it will be more important to me than what they would be to other people. But I think it's generic enough to be valuable in some way. What the plan is once I've got some sort of very, very rough organization in the Notion document, I'm just going to share it with anybody else who wants to have a look at it. And best case scenario, hopefully people go, hey, did you hear about this really helpful article on email marketing or this really helpful thing on Google Ads, for example, you know, the thing that you've been looking at the last month. Just to have some sort of centralized document. And I know that there's one or two paid products out there, but I feel like this is not my product. I'm just doing the research and, you know, it's helping me formulate my thoughts. So maybe it helps one or two other people out there. So I'll be sharing that.
I like that, because it feels like there's a bunch of people trying to do the same thing at the same time. And we're probably all coming to the same conclusions, but not everybody is sharing that. So maybe, you know, sharing that and getting the conversation going, it can turn into, maybe it's just FYI and it's just useful to somebody, or maybe it turns into something that, you know, people can grow and add to and build on.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's the other thing, I guess, that I was doing more than usual over the last 2 weeks is being a little bit more proactive on Twitter and interactive with other people that are kind of in the same boat, especially on the marketing side. And, you know, that just seems what a lot of people are doing that are in the community. They're sharing and they're you know, well, they're a lot better at it than I am. They're having these Twitter threads and of all these lessons that they've learned and things like that. So I'm going to try a combination of that. And I think it's, I mean, selfishly, it does help a little bit as well with exposure. If there's this linkable document that's helpful and people share it, then, you know, that is in and of itself a channel that I could be using to say, hey, while you're here, check out Remote Time, give me some feedback. I'd really appreciate it. But otherwise, you know, go wild. Mm-hmm. And if you've got any helpful tips on how to improve this marketing thing, then get in contact. But yeah, that's the plan. So yeah, I set up all the different criteria, and I like working in threes. So when I start a new year, I usually have these big, hairy, audacious goals, and it's usually three goals. So for the marketing thing, it was, what are the top three things? Like, after all filtering everything through the different criteria, what are the top three things that I want to focus on going into early next year? Because I want to definitely weigh more of my efforts into customer acquisition going into the new year. For me, it was fairly obvious. My website is terrible. And that is the main thing that, I guess, when people are doing Google search on like freelancer invoicing software, what do? They go to Google. So SEO is super important. So that's kind of like a no-brainer easy button for me, is just to get a better website. So I did a lot of research in the last 2 weeks on, because I self-host my website. I don't use WordPress or any of these other like out-of-the-box things. So like, I've already paid for that upfront. So that's the other, I guess, criteria for me is that, you know, how much it costs is a big thing, because I don't have any like spare resources just to be buying monthly subscriptions on left and right. So it's super important that I be as thrifty as possible. So I already self-host. So how do I get, for example, blog posts up and running on a self-hosted solution? So all those things that go into, one of the criteria is, how do I measure the stuff that I'm doing? So that means, like, at the moment, I don't have any analytics on my website. Like, I need to know where people are coming from and if they're tapping on certain things just to help me make informed decisions. I kind of like that, because there's a bit of technical product building involved in there, even though it's not my favorite technology. I'm more of a native apps guy than I am a web guy, but at least it's something to do with building.
I think it makes sense. I would say that you kind of alluded to this just now. You have to be careful not to fall into the trap of it becoming just tech for tech's sake.
Yes.
Know, because it's fun. It's more fun than maybe other forms of marketing, but it's a legitimate source for getting people in the door. So I think it makes sense. You just have to watch out for that.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the way I'm kind of thinking of it. I have the picture of like the funnel in my head, like what are the top of the funnel activities? So people do a Google search and they find content that you have, and you're getting in the top of the funnel. So how do I get them through to clicking on download the app? And once they experience the free version of the app, to getting them to pay for the subscription, right? So that's the whole funnel process. So the website and the SEO, that's kind of like top of the funnel. You know, maybe some helpful blog posts on the website to get people in. And that kind of falls into like number one. Then number two would be product education. So that's a little bit further down the funnel. So once they're in on the website, how helpful is that content? What value is that giving to potential customers? So a big part of that is product education. So the thing about a mobile app is, you know, to download the app on your phone, that is a really expensive thing for a potential customer. You know, people make decisions just in like 10 seconds. They look at your website. Is the information I'm looking at, am I interested in it? They won't download an app to make that decision. So, you know, what product information am I putting up on there? So, you know, my brain is kind of thinking on what can I do around product education, demo videos or whatever that is. I'm not sure exactly what that is yet, but that needs to be accessible. It needs to be available without downloading the app. And then I guess the third aspect, number three, is for me, if I'm just doing the Google search on what I'm doing, what piece of the product can I give them with that zero barrier without downloading the app kind of thing? So what's really stereotypical for invoicing apps is like generate an invoice for free. Like they've got these invoice generation tools. I'm not 100% sure I want to go down that route because, you know, the market is very saturated in that space and it feels like a lot of people are doing that. And we talk about culture and brand, and I'm really passionate, as we've talked before, about, you know, the whole concept of remote work and empowering freelancers and that kind of thing. So I'm thinking more along the lines of allowing freelancers to generate a portfolio website, like a one pager that they can just, you know, create a quick account and generate that and point potential clients to contact them. Because something that really grates my carrot about the current freelancing space is like Upwork and all these freelancing platforms, you have to kind of pay for access, right? And so freelancers have this choice. Either I like got to do the hard yards myself, or I join Upwork and one of these other freelancing platforms and they get customers to me. For me, like that middle ground is empowering the freelancer to do it themselves. So, you know, if they can put some information in and get a really professional looking one pager, this is what I do, this is who I am, this is how to get into contact with me. I think that's a really helpful thing. And for me, that's a good lead gen into the more permanent state of managing your relationship with your clients and doing the tasks and doing the invoicing, that kind of thing. So that's kind of like where my brain is at in terms of strategy and marketing.
Does that part of the product exist already, the one pager marketing page?
No, it doesn't. So, I mean, the thinking is that I just find a really good looking theme on ThemeForest and tweak it. And then it will take some effort to build the parts where they're feeding in their own personal information and then dynamically generating a one pager for them. And then, like, obviously my product brain went all the way down the road of, okay, how do I put in custom domain and all these kinds of things? But I'm trying to kind of like piece that together in my brain, how to make it really simple.
So I'm definitely not trying to poo-poo on any ideas. Just playing devil's advocate here. It kind of sounds like a product all on its own, as opposed to just a marketing channel with a whole, you know, that could be a whole can of worms itself, which, and I haven't looked into it, so I don't know, but it kind of, I wonder if there's a lot of competition in that area already, just like with free invoices. Have you looked into that at all?
Yeah. So I think there's less so than the free invoicing part. I mean, for sure, I'm not going to be the only person that does that, but what that does do is make a bland website a little less bland, and that offers something of value without any commitment or credit cards or anything like that. Yeah. And it kind of like is the first step into the direction I want to go with, you know, the kind of culture around freelancing and helping them to get access to new work and clients and that kind of thing. But yeah, for sure. That's why it's number three on the list, right? So that's definitely not the first thing I'm going to do. I feel like just the website on its own and fine tuning the SEO and the product education, that for me is more important. And I'm hoping number one and number two kind of get me, say, the first 10 customers that are like use the app regularly that I can contact and have that lead for me into having customer conversations. And then once I'm comfortable that's happening, then like, okay, how do I make that spin faster and get more value? So then that's more like product engineering, which is free online tools, whether that's an invoice generator or a job board or a one-page website. Yeah, I'm still kind of debating that.
Okay. So again, just playing devil's advocate. Number one, obviously SEO. Number two, product education is also kind of SEO, because how are you going to like get them there in order to view that? So SEO is a long-term game, you know, at best, you know, 3 to 6 months is what you'll see of nothing before you start getting a trickle, just through the nature of how it works. So is that okay? I mean, budget constraints are definitely a factor, right? So you can't really go for like spending thousands of dollars on PPC, which is the shortcut to SEO a lot. So maybe there's not a whole lot of a choice here, but any thoughts on how long it might take to see the fruit of your work?
Yeah, so this is the other criteria that I was having a look at, is the thing that I do, how much of a tail does that have? So there's things that you do like, for example, if I was full-time, I'd definitely be a lot more involved in terms of the freelancing communities and things like that, which I'm not doing, not anything of it, but I'm certainly not devoting a bunch of time to that. So that is more kind of things that you could be doing. Being a product person, I guess I'm leaning towards the things that have long tails. So maybe it does take 2 or 3 times longer to implement. But once it's there, it's almost like its own product on its own, and you can kind of leave it and go on to the next thing. But it's pieces of the product that is speaking directly to marketing and customer acquisition, as opposed to product features, right? Because product features, they're the most fun to build. But if you're not telling anyone about it and you're not creating some content around that's publicly accessible, then it's like if the tree falls in the forest, did it really fall kind of thing, right? I'm open all ears. And like if anybody's listening and say, well, yes, this other thing that you could be thinking of that maybe is high value, short term results, then yeah. It's like, but that's basically after 2 weeks, which is not a lot of time. That's like, you know, 8 or 10 hours of work of getting some content together and thinking like, okay, what are the things that I could be doing that might help?
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me. It's just the, it takes some time for that seed to, you know, grow once you plant it. One thing I would suggest though is, you know, lead gen is kind of my world right now. And so maybe I'm thinking a little bit more along those lines. But if you get people in through SEO, then what? I think it might be a little bit, it'd be foolish to think that they'll just go and download the app. So, some might, but I think most won't. And so one thing you might consider is how can you capture their email or their lead somehow, maybe with a really nice white paper or a, you know, small 30-page ebook that's a PDF. All you have to do is put in your email, they get the PDF, and then you can have them on a drip campaign where you can educate them, send them links to, you know, those educational articles you've got, keep them front of mind, so that after maybe 4 or 5 of those, after they're receiving those, then, you know, that you can, they'll remember you when they need something like this, and or you can pitch them more directly.
That's a great point. I think I guess the developer in me always feels a little bit icky about intentional, I want your email, so I'm going to give you something that, you know, because I've been on the other end of that a lot in the enterprise environment. You get these business people that are saying, hey, here's my white paper, just give me your email. And then it's not a great experience for me when it's like, okay, this I've seen your white paper, and it's not, doesn't really have a lot of substance. It's just a lot of generic waffle. Mm-hmm. And then I get bombarded with these drip campaigns forever and a day afterwards, and it's usually automated. So it's like, even if I reply and say stop, it's there's no real person on the other end of that thing. But I think I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. I'm just saying, I guess that's where my natural behavioral tendencies kind of didn't give a lot of thought towards that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it does make sense, because I've kind of shot myself in the foot with the free version of Remote Time, because I've preferred privacy of data over capturing emails. So if you were to download the app, I would never see that email. It's all the data, is your private data on your device until you decide you want an account. Which is like, from a marketing and sales perspective, that's a terrible idea. But I guess I went a favored principle over, I guess, sales tactics. But I need something like that that doesn't feel icky, that does give genuine value.
And it doesn't have to.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the icky, right? It can be something valuable. And they say when you're starting out, do things that don't scale. So yeah, I could be emailing people personally when they do that. So
yeah, it really doesn't have to be icky. And I've been in the same shoes. In fact, when I started doing what I'm doing now, I resisted everything that felt slimy, and I don't think that's a bad thing. but you know, so if you're going to do that, make it high quality. You know, write a real ebook that you wish you had. It doesn't have to be an ebook for an ebook's sake or a white paper for white paper's sake just to get their email. Make it valuable, but also you don't have to give everything away for free. That they could be paying. Think of it as they're paying you with their email address. And as long as you don't abuse that, as long as you put them in a drip, it can be an automated drip campaign that's not every day. Maybe it's once a week. And maybe that email campaign has additional really useful stuff. And this all takes a lot of time to put together. So it's not like I'm just, I don't mean to be hand wavy, but you can put together a really high quality mini course on how to be a remote worker or how to do something in your field that you've learned in the 30 plus years that you've spent working, that somebody that's new to it wish they'd known and that they'd happily trade their email address for. That's how I would think of it rather than the slimy way, which we've all been hit by.
Do I look that old, Ron? 30 years.
Really? I meant three years. Wait, that doesn't work. 20
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I mean, that how makes sense. So I think,
Save me.
I think the message that... The message that we're trying to convey here is there is no quick fix, right? Whatever you're going to do, it's not going to work in a matter of days or months. And that's the kind of thing where if it does happen for some lucky person on the internet, then that's all that gets talked about, right? It spreads like wildfires. Oh, look, I did this magic thing and now I went from zero to $3,000 MRR inside of 6 months. And that's all it took. But I think we underestimate how much luck has to play a part in what we're doing. For sure, you need the hard work. You need to grind and put it in there, but there is no quick fix. I was looking at one of Arvid Carl's tweets earlier this evening, and I mean, I love the guy. He's got so much good advice to say, but he did sell a company for life-changing money and then started blogging and writing about it. So that in and of itself, yes, he did show up every day and he put a lot of hard work into doing what he's doing, but the precursor is he sold a company for a lot of money. So, you know, we're not sitting in that boat. We don't have that hook that'll automatically make people listen to us and pay attention to what we're saying, right? So it's going to cost a lot of hard work. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And when you do find that channel that works, then it'll probably be the channel that you didn't think was the channel that was going to work. So you just got to, I guess, throw the line in the water and show up every day.
Yeah.
And see what works.
And the thing I do like about Arvid's content is he shares his formula. It still requires a lot of hard work. But to your point, like you're not going to gain an audience overnight. If there's a shortcut at all, it's having a lot of capital to work with, money to do things like PPC, advertising, things that jumpstart. And for those of us that are indie parents, you know, we don't have that. And so we have to do it the hard way. And so it just takes longer. And that's just how it is. There's no choice but hard work. And I don't want to glorify hustle culture, because I think we're against that. You know, we want to maintain our family relationships and all, and keep our priorities straight. But there is an element of just going heads down and doing the work that isn't fun for a long time.
Yeah. And I think that took me a while to kind of get to that place where I am content with things taking 5 times longer than what they should because of the priorities that we have. So if you come to that realization, it's like, you know what, I already have the most important thing in life. I've got my family and I've got my kids and I'm making time for them. There's this other thing, and then I'd really like to build a business and you know, increase the flexibility around how I can be a better father and a better husband. But at the end of the day, you don't want to sacrifice those things. So I'm content at things taking longer. And if it happens, that's great. If it doesn't, I've made a whole bunch of new friends, and I'm having a lot of fun, you know, concentrating more on enjoying the journey, on what it is and all the learning that goes into building a business, because it's not just writing code. It's like all these myriad of things and interesting people that you meet. And so, you know, it's just sometimes climbing out of the box and looking from the outside in is helpful to get that perspective.
Yeah. And I've heard, I wish I could credit the person that said this, but you know, if you're not happy at $1 MRR, you're not going to be that much happier at 1,000 or 5,000 or 10,000. It'll feel like an accomplishment, but it doesn't last. And then you're on to the next milestone, you know? So if you don't enjoy that process itself, it sounds like a cop out, but it's not. Like, you really have to be happy, because, you know, during the journey, otherwise you're just going to be always chasing after the next thing without appreciating what you've done.
Yeah. And it's more common than you realize. I mean, the amount of stories that I've heard of, you know, founders retrospectively looking back on like, what did I do with my 20s? You know, they like came out of school and university or whatever it is, and they spent 80 hours a week building products and doing, as you mentioned, the hustle culture thing. And then, you know, they look back and it's like, well, what relationships did I build over that period? You know, how many meaningful people in my life do I have that really care about who I am and what I'm doing? So, yeah.
So what's next for you? What's the next 2 weeks about?
Yeah, so I did mention last episode that December is usually like a no-go for me as far as working on stuff after hours, just because the family's on holiday and you know, they're going to bed later and we're watching movies. So that's kind of automatically means my usual 40 hours or so a month turns into about 10. So I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can try and hack that by doing something completely different, so my brain is energized. So I'll obviously still be working on the marketing thing and trying to fill out my Notion document with all the reading and stuff that I'm doing. But as far as practically in the evenings, I'm going to be working on App Storefront. And the goal is by the end of December to have something that I can deploy to the store. And it's a real product with a real business that wants to use it. So that's going to be a nice feeling, I think, as well, to try and get these different experiences. If I can't do it with remote time, get the actual customer feedback from like an easier app that's a lot quicker to build and deploy.
So you've got someone that's like a paying customer waiting to use this?
Well, it's not a paying customer. It's just a family friend who has a micro business that sells homemade goods and things, and they've got a really like Excel spreadsheets and emails, and it's a, you know, the product system is really disorienting, and the information accuracy is just all over the place. So what's really helpful for them is to have a mobile app that they can just point their customers to and say, listen, order your, like, pick from the products and generate an invoice. And you know, the email gets automated, and it's all through Airtable, which has a fairly good free plan. So she can just set up an Airtable account and I can hook into that. And, you know, there's cloud storage and everything there for her. So it's going to be an interesting product. And then the idea is, because it's a white label app, to replicate that for my wife, who also has a micro business selling like dried fruits and nuts and that kind of thing. So yeah, so then it's like something that I've built that people are really getting value out of. And then if I think it's working well, I may just throw up a page and says, hey, anybody that's willing to pay for a white label solution like this, feel free to drop me a line and pay me money, please.
Yeah, cool. Look forward to hearing about that.
How about you, Brian?
Well, for me,
what does your next 2 weeks look like?
So we've got, like I said, the boat is patched. It's now afloat, and we can actually start bringing on more passengers. So, in addition to like building a better engine. So in order to do that, or to make it easier, I should say, we need kind of a public face to the company. Right now, the website for the company is like, I don't know, 12 years old, pretty shady looking, kind of embarrassing. So just going to spend a week, basically reworking that, modernizing it and making it something we're proud to point people to. And after that, I'm going to figure out what the next thing that we were going to do is the, of the different ideas that I shared earlier. It's probably going to be finding ways to get more leads per dollar. So I'll share a little bit more about that once we have a plan, but that's my next 2 weeks. So, I don't know what December is going to be like. I don't know what it's like for real estate investors. I imagine it's also it might be slower, but it also might be faster if you've got people sitting around at home and they're in, you know, they're with family and there's distressed situations. Oh, we've got to help grandma sell her house. You know, maybe it'll speed up even. So I don't know what to expect. I'm just going to kind of play it by ear.
Well, it sounds like the needle is moving in the right direction. So something to look forward to.
It'll be fun. Yeah. I'm having fun. I'm still, like I said, I'm not being paid. So I'm still technically on sabbatical, but I find myself in more meetings each day with clients than I ever did before. It's kind of this weird feeling where I'm not being paid, but it's exciting and it's fun because there is light at the end of the tunnel where hopefully, you know, a few months from now, I can get paid or pay ourselves. Yeah. So it's kind of a weird place to be in, but it's fun. I'm still having fun. So I do have a dad joke for this week. Who was the roundest knight at King Arthur's Round Table? You know, so you've got the round table and there's a bunch of knights there. Who was the roundest knight?
I don't have any idea. I can only name like three of them. Who was the roundest knight, Brian?
Circumference. He had too much pie.
That's a good one.
All right. What nice. You got? Throw it at me.
Yeah. So, I mean, us having small kids and stuff, you know, one of the things that is par for the course for parents is organizing birthday parties. And we always struggled, you know, when our kids are young to we have to come up with a theme of, you know, what are we going to do, whether it be cowboys and Indians and, or, you know, so one of the really popular ones around here is a space party. But then my wife asked me, well, how do you organize a space party? And I said, well, it's easy. You just plan it.
That's true. You know, it's a good, like I said before, you know, it's a good dad joke when you want to slap your forehead. I think both of ours qualified this week. All right. Well, hope you have a good beginning of December here in a few days. I guess by the time this comes out, it'll be the last day of November. Or does November have 30 days? It might be the first day of December, actually, when this comes out. So happy December, everyone. It's gone by really quick.
Until next time.
We'll talk to you later.
Cheers, Brian. If you enjoyed this episode and you want an easy way to support us, we'd love it if you reviewed this podcast on whichever platform you're using to tune in. If you'd like to ask a question, you can send us an email to hello@indiedads.com or message us directly on Twitter. You can also find us at indiedads.com, where you can see show notes, links to our Twitter profiles, and product websites. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.